Pay careful attention now to God's word to us this evening. Paul has just outlined the state in which we once were as dead in trespasses and sin. He's spoken about God's work, God being rich in mercy, of how he loved us, saved us even when we were sinners. And then because of God's work, because we're saved by grace, Paul has a therefore in verse 11, and that's where we pick up our passage, verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And then verse 17, starting our text. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is God's holy and true word to us this evening. Let's bring this word before him in prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have our Bibles open before you. We look to you to speak to us this evening. Jesus Christ, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. That means that we are your children. It means that our sins are forgiven. That means that we have hearts that are receptive to your word. And Holy Spirit, we recognize this evening that it is your work in us that makes it possible, that makes Jesus Christ real to us, that takes your word and places it in our hearts, that molds us and shapes us into a dwelling place. We thank you and praise you for your word. Open our ears and hearts now. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you head to the De Boers, which De Boers you say? Well, the De Boers on McLeod's Road. If you head to the De Boers on McLeod's Road, as you turn off Marshman's Road, you'll notice that there's a castle on the corner. Has anyone seen that castle there? Yeah, most of us have seen that castle there. It's actually for sale. You can buy it. New church, yes, that has been floated. Yes, talk to the comm. Talk to the comm. This place is impressive. It's a 10-year labour of love. It has 7 bedrooms, 5 en suites, 12 toilets, multiple living areas, plans for a home theatre, a gym, a lift, and a pool. That is really sounding good for a church building, isn't it? But sadly, according to the website, the owners have had to sell. But they're selling it as is, where is. I don't know if you've looked at the pictures on the net. I encourage you to go and have a look. It's actually a real mess. It's got the shell of a building, but it's not looking like it's in much good shape. No insurance, I believe, on it either. And when you look at things like the staircase, this wonderful spiral staircase, and you see the iron in the staircase, it's actually rusting. There is a lot of work to go in there. A real labour of love for someone, and possibly someone who's actually slightly, more than a little bit actually, crazy. But here in our passage, we're also introduced to a labour of love. A labour of love, a work that has been in progress for more than 10 years, for thousands of years, as God builds the church of Jesus Christ. Not a physical building, but a spiritual one. And Paul here talks about the church, in some ways the church universal, but here in our passage, the local church. He's writing to the Ephesians. He's speaking to them as a representative of the body of Christ. And just as he speaks to the Ephesians, we can hear Paul speaking to us this evening. As he speaks about the church, our church, Christ's labor of love, God the Father's labor of love, the Holy Spirit's labor of love, the Trinity at work in us, as God is building a temple. And as we shall see, this temple, this dwelling place that God is building is a majestic one, a glorious one. Paul teaches us this afternoon about how we are built up as a church. So our theme this afternoon is the Trinity works to build us into God's house. The Trinity works to build us into God's house. 3 points, and our first is the Trinity brings us peace. The Trinity brings us peace. In verse 17, we read this, "And he came," this is speaking of Jesus Christ, "and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near." Who were those who were far off? The Gentiles. Who were those who were near? The Jews. But Christ preaches peace to both. What is this peace, first of all, that he's speaking about? Well, the first peace is a vertical one. Peace with God. As we read in verse 18, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." That's the most important peace that we can have. The work that comes about through the work of the Trinity, God the Father sending his Son, God the Son dying on the cross for us, the Holy Spirit making that real for us, uniting us with Jesus Christ. Our sins forgiven so that we can stand before God. The Trinity makes that possible. And our passage here, right from the outset, reminds us that we have full and free access to our Heavenly Father through the work of the Holy Spirit, verse 18. Now, sometimes when I'm working in my office, I'm studying away, and the girls will want to come and talk to me. And I say, "Look, I'm busy. Now's not a good time. Come to me a bit later." I'd never say that to Hanukkah, of course. But God the Father is never too busy. There's never a time that we can't come to him. There's never a time where it's inconvenient. The doors are always wide open. We can come to him because of the peace we have, the vertical peace we have with God. But there's also another aspect of peace that Paul is drawing out here to the Ephesians. And it's there, and we read about that in some ways as we're reading verses 11 and following. He's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. There was some tension at work in the church at Ephesus between those who were from the nation of Israel and those who had come into the church who were non-Israelites, non-Jewish, who were Gentiles. And here in the church at Ephesus, there was real racial tension. And that's what Paul is addressing here as he speaks about that through Christ, the dividing wall of hostility, the barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles has been broken down. The church should be a place of peace, where cultures, different cultures, can gather together. Because Christ has broken down those barriers. And if we think of our own church here in Rangiora, we don't really have that kind of tension, do we? I mean, what sort of nationalities do we have here? We have Dutch, of course. South African, what else? What other nationalities do we have? Yeah, well, this is interactive, tell me. I know you're smiling there, Harmony. Come on, tell us. Canadian. Thank you, Peter. What else do we have? Kiwi, yes?
French, wasn't it?
I love you, darling, but that's probably not a nationality. It should be, but it's not a nationality, no. What else? Can anyone think of anything? South African, I said that already, didn't we? We're a pretty homogenous group, aren't we? We're basically white middle class. If we are serious about the gospel, if we are serious in our relationships, as we've been challenged week in, week out, about proclaiming the gospel, in God's blessing, this will change for us here in Rangiora. As the church grows, as our generations, as generations come on for us as a group, we should expect other nations to be involved and join with us. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for different cultures? Are we open to different cultures? I'm sure today we'd all say, yes, absolutely, of course we are. But are we ready? What sort of barriers do we have as a church to different cultures? Have you ever thought of that question? What barriers do the way that we do things, because that's the way we've always done it, or that's the way we should do it, or that's the way that the Dutch always did it, what sort of barriers are there to someone coming and joining us? Are we ready to ask those hard questions of ourselves? Are we ready to think about our own attitudes to other nationalities, to the way that we do things? Are we ready to consider what in our church are holy cows? You know what I mean by holy cow, don't you? Don't touch that issue, otherwise there's going to be trouble. What are the things that we hold on to that are so vital, or we see them as vital and important, that are actually barriers for others joining us? Those are the questions we should be asking ourselves. Are we truly an open church? If someone who knew nothing about the Reformed Church came and joined us, would they know and understand what is going on? Would we be able to explain it to them? How do we prepare for that? Well, part of preparing for that is realizing that in Jesus Christ there should not be any barriers. Because of the work of the Trinity, the nations have been brought together. The gospel is multicultural. So should we be. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. As Paul explained in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we are sinners saved by God, just the same as everyone else. We need to understand who we are in Jesus Christ and be reminded of the grace that is extended to us, and then think about barriers to that grace being extended to others. It's not something we often think about and talk about, is it? But that's what our passage causes us to think about. Are we open to different cultures? Are we willing to examine ourselves and our practices so that we are open? Paul continues to speak about the reality of the work of the Trinity that brings us, that brings different cultures together, that unites different cultures, that gives us access to through one Spirit to the Father, applies the work of Jesus Christ to us. But we see also that Paul makes this picture even more intimate as we look at our second point this afternoon. The Trinity brings us into God's family. The Trinity brings us into God's family. In verse 19, Paul continues to speak to the Ephesians. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. When we were living in the States as a family, we were considered aliens. They're not people from outer space, but people from a different nation. And that meant because we were aliens, to gain entry into the country, for me to be able to do study, I had to have a guarantee for all the money that was going to cost us to live for those 3 years in the States. We had to have a note of guarantee from the Reformed Church of Whanganui saying we will underwrite any of those expenses. When we lived in the States, we had no right to health care. We couldn't get Obamacare, that wonderful institution that it's supposed to be. We couldn't send our kids to the local school. We had no entitlement to that, or at least not freely to the local school. Because we weren't US citizens. Now, even here in New Zealand, if you're not a citizen, if you're not Kiwi-born, you actually need to apply. And there's a bit of a process to go through. It takes you, there's certain residency requirements. You have to live in New Zealand for at least 3 years, at least 5 years, isn't it? 5 years before you can apply for citizenship. You need to pay a bit of money, of course. Actually, quite a bit of money. But then eventually, if you're accepted, you come along to a ceremony. Who's been to a citizenship ceremony? A couple of us have. We won't bring any racial tension here about Dutch people being naturalised. There's another tension point. We won't go there. But at the ceremony, you have to give a pledge. You have to swear allegiance to the Queen. And also, you generally sing the national anthem. The mayor normally leads the ceremony, and after that you get some sort of a certificate and you're welcomed into citizenship here in New Zealand. And it's like that for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we are no longer strangers and aliens. We belong to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But Paul doesn't stop there. Imagine after the citizenship ceremony, you meet the mayor. And the mayor says, come to my home. Now, for our mayor, I believe it's his parents' home at the moment currently, but that's okay. You come to the mayor's home, and he says, come over this way. I want to show you your bedroom. This is where you're going to stay. Here in the bathroom is a towel with your name on it. There's a toothbrush there for you. And you come down and sit at the table, and there's a placemat with your name on it. This is where you're going to live from now on. Now, apart from that being just a little bit weird, that's amazing, isn't it? And that's the kind of picture. We're not just citizens of God's kingdom. We're family of God's kingdom. We belong. It means that as brothers and sisters, we are family. Not just blood relations, but something even deeper than that, spiritual relations. We have Jesus Christ as our brother. We have God the Father as our Father. And we have all of the privileges that Jesus Christ has. And it means that we, brothers and sisters, are family with each other. Does that mean that we can turn up for dinner at any time without being invited to each other's house and treat each other's house as our own? No, that's not a good idea. But yet, we are family. And as we were reminded this morning, we should be close. We should welcome each other. And we should be welcome at each other's house. We should draw closer to each other. Because we're family. And because we are family, when someone is missing from our church fellowship for a while, it shouldn't feel right. If you're at home at the dinner table and someone was missing, it doesn't seem quite right, does it? And if that happens for two or three nights and there's no explanation and they're still not there, then what are you going to do? You're going to go and chase them up and say, hey, we miss you. You're not here. Home doesn't seem quite the same without you there. Where are you? It means when a brother or sister is struggling, you go to them and ask them how they're doing. It means that we do things like we were called to do this week and last week. We pray for each other. We pray for Winey's mother. We pray for Winey's family. We prayed for the Roberts family when they were going through some struggles. And can I encourage you here? That's what the church prayer chain is for. Email me those requests so that we can pray for each other as a family. We care for each other. We love each other. We go and talk to each other when something's not right. When our relationships aren't right, we don't feel right and we want to go and sort it out, because that's just what family does. That's just what family is. We are that family, brothers and sisters. That is the reality. That is how God sees us. But Paul takes this picture, open access to God through the work of the Spirit, no longer strangers and aliens, but part of a family, and then he pumps up this picture even more in our third and final point. Through the Trinity, we are being built into God's house. That's our third point. Through the Trinity, we are being built into God's house. We pick up here in verses 20 through 22 of our passage. In verse 20, Paul says, we are being built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Let's start with the cornerstone. In the temple, as they've excavated part of the temple in Jerusalem, they found in the cornerstone these 12-meter-long stones. And these 12-meter-long, this 12-meter-long stone was used to set the dimensions of the temple. Perfectly square so that the walls can be built up on it. Solid so that walls won't crumble on top of it. Everything depends on this one stone. The lines, the support, the stability. And that's what Jesus Christ is for the church. Everything is built on the foundation of his work, of who he is. And together with that foundation, built on that foundation, we're told, is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The apostles is an easy one, speaking there of the 12 apostles plus Paul. As they have taken Christ's work and explained Christ's work in the New Testament, as we have their words given to us. Prophets, however, is open to interpretation. It could mean the Old Testament prophets. Paul speaking here about the work of the Old Testament prophets in preaching and speaking to the people of Israel and giving us God's word. But more likely, it refers to New Testament prophets at the time of the church. If you look with me in chapter 3, a little bit down, chapter 3, verse 5, it is there. Chapter 3, verse 5, speaking about the mystery of Christ. We learned about the mystery this morning, didn't we? The mystery, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly. Then verse 5, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It seems that Paul is referring here to men who were given prophetic word in that time of the church, in that special time of the church. But what is clear is that work, God's word, forms the basis of the church. Christ is the cornerstone. God's word is what the church is built upon. The teaching of the apostles and the prophets. And then Paul goes on to speak about the whole structure being built in verse 21. One of the things that we like to do is walk through our new subdivision at the moment and see all the new different houses being built. And on Anzac Day we were walking and we saw some of the brickwork going up in one of the houses. And sitting on a pile in front of the house was a whole lot of odd-shaped bricks. And we thought, what's going on there? But then we looked at the wall, and they were taking not just the standard-sized bricks, but they were putting next to them smaller bricks, so that the wall didn't just stack up bricks like that. But you had a small brick next to a larger brick, and that created more stability to the wall and created a lovely pattern. And that's a picture of God building the church. Sometimes God uses full-size stones. Sometimes he uses small stones. Sometimes he has to knock a bit off the stone to put it into the right place. We began our worship by our call to worship by being reminded by Peter that we are living stones being built up by Jesus Christ for his church. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit uses people of all shapes and sizes to build his church. People with all sorts of abilities, people with all sorts of backgrounds, different gifts, different beliefs. God uses them to build his church. What does that mean for us? Well, it means for us, as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12, that each of us has a vital part to play in the church. Everyone has a part, be it small, be it big. And as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12, sometimes the smallest, ugliest brick that you want to hide and put away in a far corner somewhere is a vital cog to the work of God's church. Brothers and sisters, we need to see ourselves as the builder sees us. As a group of people being built together into a dwelling place for who? For who? What does our passage say? Verse 22. Being built for who? For God. Thank you. Someone is still awake. Into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Again here we see the Trinity at work. We are being built for God the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that is building us, that is turning us into that building. The Holy Spirit that unites us with Jesus Christ, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who leads us and guides us, makes the truth of the apostles and the prophets, the teaching of Jesus Christ, real for our lives, helps us to live that out. So that we can become, as we were reminded this morning, mature Christians in the faith, being built together for God and His service. Being built into a wonderful, magnificent temple for God's pleasure. As Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians, both the Ephesians and the Jewish Ephesians, and Paul would have had two temples in mind. The first temple would have been the temple in Jerusalem, the temple of Herod, which in those days was a magnificent building that Herod had built. That's the first temple. But in Ephesus, there was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis, a beautiful, magnificent marble structure, a wonderful edifice. Both this temple, Herod's temple, and the Temple of Artemis were built to contain the presence of God. But in the time that Paul was writing to the Ephesians, both of those temples were totally empty. Both of those temples were nothing compared to the magnificent temple that God was building, is building in and through His Son. And brothers and sisters, that's what we are being built up to here in Rangiora. Now, our temple at the moment doesn't look all that magnificent. No offense meant. But we're not perfect. We carry our sins and our burdens, and sometimes it's just hard work. If we think about ourselves as a temple, sometimes we're probably more like that castle for sale on McLeod's Road. In need of a bit of work and a bit of repair. But that's not how God sees us. That's not how God sees us. God already sees us as the finished product, not a simple number of bricks built together, but His children being built together into a wonderful temple. And He is continuing to work in us, building us together as brothers and sisters into a suitable dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's the work of the Trinity in us. Till that day, that wonderful day that God will say, it is finished. When the building will have its final, complete, perfect code of compliance, and we as a church will hear these words. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Brothers and sisters, that is a picture of who we will be in that day when our Lord returns. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of the Trinity in us as a church, that you are building us into a beautiful, perfect building. We acknowledge this evening that, Lord, that's a hard work sometimes. Sometimes as we get placed together, as we rub up against each other, Lord, that creates conflict, that creates trials. In ourselves, we feel the weight of sin in our own lives and sin against us. Heavenly Father, we pray for us as a church here in Rangiora. We pray that you'd help us to examine ourselves and who we are, that examine our practices, and also, Lord, that you would help us and encourage us and prepare us for becoming a truly multicultural church. Lord, that is going to take some heart and mind and an attitude adjustment. Work in us. Help us to reach out to others, we pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful blessing and truth that we are not just members of a nation, as great as that is, but we are also a family. Make us more of a family here in Rangiora, we pray. Help us to seek out those, Lord, who are hurting. Help us to reach out to those who are struggling. Help us to reach out and chase down those sheep who are wandering away. Lord, make us uncomfortable when people are missing. Help us to go and seek them out. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the building that you are building us into, and that we can have confidence that though we are far from perfect now, the day is coming when we will be. And we look forward to that day when we see our Saviour Jesus Christ. In the meantime, continue to work in us through your Holy Spirit. Make us more like Jesus Christ, we pray, that we would be a suitable building for you, our Heavenly Father. We pray this, relying on your mercy, thanking you, Father, thanking you, Son, thanking you, Holy Spirit. And we pray this as God's people, saying together, amen. Let's stand now and sing Simply Praise to God in the Trinity with the words of that old hymn number 155, Holy, 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 as we stand before our holy